And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Friday, December 1st, 2017. Flip your calendars ahead. And if you've got a watch, that, you know, make sure it's not the 31st, because 30 days has November. Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Again, it's Friday, December 1st, 2017, 24 days away from Christmas, the Christian celebration of Christmas. By the way, Merry Christmas. That's right. And look, you know, I understand about the dates and such, but Merry Christmas. Of course, the deep state, we're going to be getting into a number of things. The deep state thrown down, Michael Flynn, of course, being forced to plead guilty. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a number of things the first hour. The second hour, we're going to have Kaya Jones. Most people know who she is. And I know her only, not from her music. Sorry. I guess I'm a little old. I'm old. I'm ancient. But I know her from, of course, her story. She was on Sean Hannity. She was on, she's been on a number of radio programs and television programs, Sean Hannity show, of course, being of late. And then the third hour tonight, we're going to have Peter Chalka coming on to join us. Now, a couple of announcements out of the gate. Portion of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks, omahasteaks.com. If you really want a great steak, oh, I remember being in Branson, Missouri, and one of the most famous steakhouses in the country. I was there. And it was during the conference. And I don't go out to eat. I just don't do that. I really don't. So anyway, I had a great steak. But Omaha Steaks, you want a great steak, omahasteaks.com. But here's the deal. You have to use HH as the promo code. That's omahasteaks.com, HH as the promo code. And you're going to receive discounts on a very special package that you can order for yourself. It's under $50, and you get a whole bunch of stuff, or send it to that hard to buy for a person. omahasteaks.com, HH is a promo code. But now we have today, by the way, I wanted to mention, we had I had done, and we're beginning this here shortly, I had done the entire program dedicated to the mysterious death of Lori Klizutis, the 28-year-old staffer for Joe Scarborough. If you didn't have a chance to listen to that program, if you want to know about that unsolved death, and I want to thank each and every person who had sent in comments to me. I read every single one. That's right, every single one. My daughter printed them out working in the office, and I read every single one. I responded to one. I'm going to respond to every single one. That's my promise. I will respond to every single one. So I want to say thank you for that. And, of course, Joe and John did a fantastic show today as well. Now, a couple of announcements for Patreon members, supporters of this program through Patreon. Eric the Tech, if I could turn a camera on him, you would see an overworked, underpaid skeleton of a guy who looks like Einstein. You know, remember how Einstein worked? Okay, you ever see Einstein's desk? That's the way it is. But he's got the form up and running. So, if you have donated to that point, and I don't even know what that is, but... I'm sorry? Okay, 10 or... on the form.
This forum's awesome. Dad, you're plugged in, I'm plugged in, yes. John's there, Eric's there, and there's a number of members that have already signed up to use this forum, and I love forums, and we're going to populate this daily with different topics and areas of discussion, and we're going to continue to build this thing, and we ask for the participation of those out there, especially for the Patreon donors. Take advantage of this.
And you know, this is a place where I want to go. I really want to go. I've been to all of the, you know, from Reddit to 4chan to various political forums on both sides of the spectrum to survival
conspiracy forums.
Every forum there is. I want this to be different. This is your forum to those who have supported our program. And look, I'm sorry. We had to make a cutoff because all of this costs money and time, investment of personnel and such. But I want it to be yours. We only have one rule, basically. Just please be nice. That's all. Treat others like you would treat yourself or want to be treated yourself. That's all we ask. And it's not to slight anyone. It's and as a matter of fact, if you've supported us in the past, you're alone. Send an email to studio@hagmanandhagman.com with the subject line form, and we'll see if we can get you in there somehow. You know, if you're financially unable to support us, we understand that. We just don't want anyone to be alone. Okay, I've got a heart for those people who. You know, who are alone and don't have family and don't have people to talk to. Now, this is not it's a forum, okay? But you can share ideas and there's some fellowship and such, so there's that. And also Sunday, I can't wait for Sunday at 7 o'clock on Sunday. Describe it, Joe. I'm going to toss it to you too.
Okay, I don't even completely understand it.
It's a video conference.
But for the Patreon, for people on Patreon who've donated over $25, we are all going to gather in a room. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. We're going to be on our computers. We're going to be on video.
A virtual room.
Right. And there's going to be however many people come to watch who are donors in that tier on Patreon. And we're going to sit around and if I have this correct, Eric, give me a thumbs up. We're going to ask questions that the listeners ask us? Or we're going to answer questions that the
listeners
ask?
We're going to have a conversation, right?
Anything. Okay. So, yeah, it's a... Okay, so everybody's going to be on video, and we can have a discussion about everything and anything.
So it's going to be our first time out. Don't wear pajamas.
Well, I'll be able to wear pajamas because you'll have from, you know, here up. It's a Sunday evening family gathering. I mean, I'm not going to be in a tie, I'll tell you that.
Okay, now this is our first time out, so give us a chance. If things go sideways or if, you know, there are problems, please understand.
We'll try it again next week. If we have to.
But we want to make this a monthly thing. And if there happens to be too many people, because everyone, you know, wants to jump in, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. But so you know, just have patience with us, but we're growing. And this is, to me, I want to thank everyone who's helped us. I hope you can see the investment where your support is going, and we're growing all of the time. John, you know, he's so excited. He's like vibrating out of his chair because, we're actually getting, well, I want to be careful because I don't want to give too much away, but you're going to be seeing field reports from the field. I can guarantee you that, that you don't see elsewhere from people who are really pros in their field of journalism. We're growing there. And of course, tonight, Kaya Jones coming on. And again, she's a really well-known singer back. What decade was that? 90s, early 2000s. And Peter Barry Chalka coming on. You can see how we're growing. I hope you can see that. And I want to thank you for that. And I love it because that really torques a lot of people off or detractors. You know, all their, the fact that we're growing, it's we don't do it for that reason, but it's kind of funny to read some of the comments about that. But all we want to do is bring you the information. We want to be...
For the forum or for the...
For... Okay.
Only four?
Oh, the insanity in my earpiece. Okay.
Only four people got invitations for the forum. Oh, the forum people. Okay. I thought you said four.
We're having a discussion. Folks, talk amongst yourselves while we work this out.
Yeah, Eric, you should when you do that, you should jump on air.
Right.
So we can hear it in our earpieces. Okay, right. So everybody who donated the $10 level on Patreon has an email in their inbox with the instructions and links on how to activate their forum membership.
Correct.
So look for that and complete that and get into the forum as soon as possible. Dad, I think you posted a greetings and welcome
I did.
Thread to get things started there, so.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, again, we want to welcome and embrace everyone, and we really want to, we want to make this just the best we can make it for you. And, anyway, so all of this business aside.
And man. One more thing.
Oh.
And the video.
Okay. You're going to come on air?
I can't hear you. I am on air.
Oh, you're on air. Okay.
Yep. The all video right. platform on, Sunday, people will receive an email probably around like 5 Eastern time.
Okay.
And that'll happen
invitation?
At 7. Yeah.
That'll with the links and
they
got to
set up their account with their name and stuff. And
okay, folks. So if you heard that, the people who are going to be joining us on the video conference, the $25 tier membership on Patreon, are going to receive an email on Sunday with the links and instructions on how to get in there, and join us on the group call at 7. So we are looking forward to that. You ready to jump into some news?
Yeah, obviously.
Michael Flynn, let's start there.
Well, may I
oh,
just...
Oh, no, yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
okay.
I just want to mention this. November 29th at 9:14 in the morning, President Donald Trump, the second line of a paragraph tweet, referenced Joe Scarborough and the dead office staffer. The unsolved mystery involving Morning Joe Scarborough. And I just want to touch... just want to touch base. I'm not going to take any time or much time away from tonight's program. I just want to say I dedicated this morning's program to the mysterious death of Lori Klozoutis, 28-year-old female. She was born in August of 1972. The Fort Walton Beach office of Representative, then U.S. House of Representative member Joe Scarborough on July 20th, 2001. Again, the 2 months shy of her 29th birthday. And the medical examiner in this case who certified her death, Dr. Michael Berkland, is no stranger to controversy. Back in the mid-90s, he was a medical examiner in Missouri. He had his license suspended. He moved to the Pensacola area of Florida, the western Emerald Coast of Florida, where he was working as a medical examiner. Of course, he got the case of Lori Klozoutis. By the way, it was in the mid, I think it was 2012 when he had a storage locker. Now, remember, Lori Klozoutis was found as working for Morning Joe Scarborough, as he was a House of Representative member since May of 1999. In July 20th, 2001, her body was found in his office, reportedly from a heart ailment that caused syncope. She fell, or caused her to faint. She fell, reportedly fell, struck her head on the desk, and thusly died from a subdural hematoma and bleeding and pressure inside the brain. And she was found at approximately 8 o'clock in the morning, just after 8 o'clock in the morning on July 20th, last seen or last heard from the previous day, July 19th of 2001, right after 5 p.m. Now, I go into the details about the lights being on, the lights being off, eyewitness accounts and such on my morning program. I'm not going to repeat that. And I go into the background of Dr. Berkland. I also go into the fact that Scarborough contacted the news within 3 hours of finding the body. So I go into a lot of detail there. The reason I bring this up now, if you want the background on Klozoutis, perhaps some of which you've not heard. By the way, I do have the autopsy report. And I mentioned the fact that I was involved in this case at its periphery. When I say involved, I received a call. This was late 01, early 02, in my capacity as an investigator from someone in that area wanting some mutual aid. And I'm not going to get into it except to say that at that time, I received a lot of documentation. After that tweet was sent by President Donald Trump, I went through the files. I keep all the files forever, and found the file from that investigator's request. I dusted it off, found a lot of documentation in there, and that's what I used as the to talk about that on the show this morning. So if it sounded rather detailish, that's from my personal investigative file on this. But the big question about this is why did Donald Trump mention Lori Klozoutis Joe Scarborough now? Out of all of the times, why now? I really didn't get into it. I didn't finish that thought on my morning program. But why now?
That's a good question. Because what can be done?
Nothing. Well, right.
Nothing.
I mean, right. Well,
you have the findings by the coroner. They're not. It's not like Trump can say, "Hey,
but the coroner,
autopsy is disgraced and
yeah." But he could. But see, I'm just going to say this. Here's the answer to the question: why now? It is poking the deep state to say, "I've got information on you." This does relate to a number of things that include, but is not limited to, and this is my personal opinion, personal investigative opinion, pedogate, sex trafficking, human trafficking, and sexual assault at its periphery. All right, that's the only thing I'm going to say. And Donald Trump has, because of his position and his contacts now, has information that people want to go down certain roads and poke at Donald Trump. He's got some goods that he can turn around and, I would say more of an insurance policy. Now you might say, well, why doesn't he just release all of the information? I think he will eventually, just not right now. Trust me when I tell you that. So, okay, that's all I wanted to say. And if you listen to the program, I invite you to send any comments about it or anything, and you could hear it within that hour, to studio@hagmanandhagman.com, and I will respond to you directly and personally over the weekend. And that's all I wanted to say about that. I just want to make sure I got that in. Now let's move on to Michael Flynn. Joe,
all
go
right.
ahead.
Michael Flynn was charged today, and if you spent any time today, which I hope most of you didn't, watching CNN, MSNBC, or some of these other crazy, you know, talk shows and political commentator shows, you would have thought Trump was literally handcuffed and walked out of the White House himself. You have headlines such as, like Christmas, The View overjoyed by Flynn plea. And it goes on and on. I'm not going to go through all the examples. So what is happening with the Flynn guilty plea, and what does it mean for Donald Trump? Well, there's a number of different avenues where people can go down to see what makes the most sense, and we're going to do just that with a few of them today. But Flynn pleads guilty to lying to the FBI. And in this article from the National Review, and thanks for printing this out, it says as follows, and we're just going to read some of the important parts in here. Former Trump administration National Security Advisor Michael Flynn is expected to plead guilty today to lying to the FBI regarding his conversations with Russia's ambassador to the United States. Now, before we go any further, I want to read a statement that Michael Flynn issued today. After over 33 years of military service to our country, including nearly 5 years in combat away from my family, and then my decision to continue to serve the United States, it has been extraordinarily painful to endure these many months of false accusations of treason and other outrageous acts. Such false accusations are contrary to everything I have ever done and stood for, but I recognize that the actions I acknowledged in court today were wrong, and through my faith in God, I am working to set things right. My guilty plea and agreement to cooperate with Special Counsel's office reflect a decision I had made in the best interest of my family and of our country. I accept full responsibility for my actions. So what did Flynn lie to the FBI about? Flynn did not tell the truth or did not admit to meeting or making contact with a Russian ambassador after Trump had won the presidency before he was inaugurated, which, from what I understand, Flynn talked to 35 other country ambassadors in that same time. But the issue was not him talking to the ambassador. The issue was him lying to the FBI about talking to the ambassador. And that's where this charge stems from. Now, you have trains of thought. You know, Judge Napolitano is saying that this Michael Flynn's guilty plea is a nightmare for Trump. And then you have the stories from the National Review, what Flynn plea means. And this article goes on to detail what the charge is. And it says, at the time, Flynn was slated to become the National Security Advisor to President-elect Trump. The conversation occurred on the same day that then-President Obama announced sanctions against Russia for its interference in the 2016 elections. It is believed to have been recorded by the FBI because the Russian ambassador, Kislyak, as an agent of a foreign power was subject to monitoring under the Foreign Intelligence Service Act. Mueller has charged Flynn with falsely telling the FBI agents that he did not ask the ambassador to refrain from escalating the situation, that being the sanctions on Russia. In being questioned by the agents on January 24th, Flynn also lied when he claimed that he could not recall a subsequent conversation with Kislyak, in which the ambassador told Flynn that Putin regime had chosen to moderate its response to the sanctions. Now, and it goes on to detail more about the sanctions. It says, obviously it was wrong for Flynn to give the FBI false information. He could have, after all, simply refused to speak with the agents in the first place. And it goes on to say that there was nothing wrong with the incoming national security advisors having meetings with foreign counterparts or discussing such matters as the sanctions in those meetings. If the FBI and or had FISA recordings of Flynn and his conversations, there was no need to ask Flynn what the conversations entailed. And that's just really a side point. And it goes on.
Fair issues. The Foreign Agent Registration Act charges are in the 47 years. I think there has been six, maybe.
Okay.
So just for perspective, in lying to the FBI does not equal collusion with Russia or interference in the 2016 elections. Just saying. Go ahead.
So here's where it gets interesting in this article. While initial reporting is portraying Flynn's guilty plea as a major breakthrough in Mueller's investigation of potential Trump campaign collusion with the Russian regime, I suspect the opposite is true. Speculation that Flynn is now cooperating in Mueller's investigation stirred in recent days due to reports that he had pulled out of a joint defense agreement to share information with other subjects of the investigation. And it goes on from there. Well, one thing that I did see here on the statement that he made, and let me pull that back up. I didn't think, in his statement that he just issued, I believe he did say that he was cooperating with Mueller. So that, in his own words, this is what he says in the last sentence. My guilty plea and agreement to cooperate with Special Counsel's office reflect the decision I made in the best interest of my family and country, and I accept full responsibility for my actions. So that verifies the fact that he is going to cooperate, but what does he have to offer? But either way, so all Michael right. Flynn, just like Papadopoulos, was charged with lying to the FBI, even though what he was lying about wasn't a crime in the first place. See how little sense this makes?
And this is very true. Diana West, who is the author of Betrayal, she has an article at dianawest.net. When gotcha is just contact sport. I like the play on words, and she gets into the historical background of this. And she writes that the presses have stopped, news is broken. Make that the presses are broken, the news is stopped. I love that. But this is, and as you rightly pointed out, painted the picture of the left, the progressives, the shadow government. They're so excited about this. They believe that this is the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Now, I heard a guest host on Sean Hannity's radio show today who made the point. He said that if it is true that Donald Trump asked Flynn to reach out, which is something that in his position as national security advisor he would do anyway, it proves that there wasn't collusion because this was an attempt of contact or initial contact. But that's neither here nor there.
Well,
my question is,
right,
what does this mean for the Trump for Trump and for his administration? We, as you just said, the left, they're giddy about this. They think that this somehow proves and it puts the nail in the coffin of Trump. Other people think that it's not a big deal, that it's really going to go nowhere. And I do believe that Robert Mueller is going to do everything he can to try to charge Trump with something. Obviously,
well,
that's
it's going to be obstruction. Number one is going to be obstruction.
This is what I understand. James Comey testified that Trump was not under investigation. Trump fires Comey, and somehow that's obstruction of justice under an investigation that never took place or was not happening or did not involve Trump at all.
And that's so just one many spokes of within the wheel. That's right.
I don't understand. I don't understand how they can get away with it.
Well, Diana West kind of put some perspective in this because she goes back into the historical record, which I like, and identifies what is taking place today versus what has traditionally gone on. And you can go back to Nixon, Kissinger, China, and Russia, in fact, with Kissinger. But let's say that the issue is this. We're supposed, okay, the issue is that, Donald Trump directed Michael Flynn to make contact with the Russians initially as a way to fight, work together to fight ISIS and, together in Syria. Now, let's just say, and this is Diana West writing this, let's just say President Trump did direct his incoming NSA, National Security Advisor Mike Flynn, to make contact with the Russians about ISIS in the pre-inaugural weeks after the November 2016 election. The question is, so what? And there it is. That, I think that's what you've been saying. So what?
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter? Well, that's the real question. It's also the first point of the perspective worth adding to the stick drawings, if you will, that sell as news today, writes Diana West. So what? Advisable or not, there's nothing treasonous. There's nothing scandalous about this at all. And you look back in history, Kissinger via Nixon did this, but somehow, some way, this has now become treasonous. But I truly, what I believe, Joe, and we can pick this up after the break, is I really believe that they will use, the left are going to, the deep state, the permanent shadow government is going to use this to take out Donald Trump, I believe.
Or try to,
yeah. yes.
But there, I don't think they will be successful because they, I mean, as much as they yell obstruction and they yell, you know, collusion and where there's smoke, there's fire, there is not one shred of proof of evidence that Trump did anything wrong. And if there was something there, they would have already thrown it in our faces a long time ago. We'll pick this discussion up on the other side. You're listening to this Friday edition of the Hagmann Report. Welcome back to this Friday, December 1st edition of the Hagmann Report. We got another half hour. We're going to get into a bunch more news, and then we're going to be joined by Kaya Jones in hour two, followed by Peter Chalka in hour three. I don't know how many people saw this. This is an unreported story. Donald Trump, when he became president, said that he would donate his salary to a number of different charities. Well, Trump has donated his third quarter paycheck to battling the opioid epidemic, and this is going to help the Health and Human Services Department battle this epidemic, the White House announced yesterday. Trump has pledged to donate his entire salary to various causes and so far has dedicated each of his quarterly $100,000 paychecks to different federal programs, and from the National Parks to the Education Department and now to this opioid epidemic. And is this going to bring happiness from the people in the media saying, look at the president, you know, donating his salary? Absolutely not. He's even worse for doing this.
No, I think they spun it to say that he bought heroin, right?
You know, it's crazy. But again, he's doing what he says he was going to do and putting his money where his mouth is. So that's good to see.
You know, Greg Jackson, of course, has got a new book out, 40 Rules to Help Men or Boys Become Men. 40 rules to help boys become men. Let me tell you something. Every parent with a young boy should have that book. The reason I bring Greg Jackson up is I got an email from him saying, man, you know, my mouth was watering when you were talking about Omaha Steaks. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks is giving the listeners of the Hagmann and the Hagmann Report a very, very special offer. You're not going to find this elsewhere. Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com and in the search bar type in HH. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just for you. Now, if you're looking for that perfect gift for someone that's hard to buy for, maybe your boss, maybe the uncle that, you know, has everything, or maybe even your folks, my family gift pack is the perfect gift. It's under $50. Listen to what you would get. Listen to what you'll get in this package. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, 4 of their Omaha steak burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet, which is just, again, I want to find out what they put in that because it really brings out the flavor and it's got a tremendously unique flavor. Plus, 4 kielbasa sausages, but with this pack, you'll get 4 extra kielbasa sausages free. Here's how to get all of that. Imagine getting all of that. Here's what you need to do. Go to omahasteaks.com or just go to Hagman Report. Click on the link to Omaha Steaks. And when you get there, this is really important. Type in HH in the search bar for a 75% savings. It's a gift that's guaranteed to be a hit. All of that for $49.99. And that's called My Family Gift Pack. When you go to omahasteaks.com and enter HH in the search bar, again, 75% off. You can't beat it. But I just want you to think back to the smell, the aroma of the steak cooking over a charcoal grill, perhaps, and oh, the mouth-watering tender aged beef. Omaha Steaks, you can't beat that. OmahaSteaks.com, HH in the search bar, My Family Gift Pack, 75% off. It's a guaranteed to be a hit. Get it for yourself or as a gift. OmahaSteaks.com, HH in the search bar. So, yeah, you know, this, wow, all of this news. And, Joe, let me ask, seeing the Flynn story break, we've been talking about this. I told you on my morning program, I said this was coming, and it indeed has. What do you expect this weekend in terms of news, in your view? Because you've been doing a lot of research, anything involving Flynn, involving President Trump, or do you think it's going to be something more in the geopolitical realm with North Korea? What about the Secretary of State? What about other news that we haven't gotten into?
Well, yeah, there is a lot going on, and don't forget, everyone out there, go to HagmanReport.com. There, Peter Chalka has a new article up here, is The Smoking Gun, The Purpose of Government Healthcare is Control. That's his latest piece. And there's a number of other important pieces up there we're going to get into a little bit. What do I expect to see this weekend is the tax bill.
We haven't talked about that.
Right, and now Mitch McConnell is saying they have enough votes to pass it through. There are some changes made to the bill that call for tax increases if the economy doesn't meet certain numbers in a multi-year time frame, which is concerning to some. And there's a lot of pushback from the left and the left media. They say that, you know, this is only for Donald Trump and his friends, but there's a lot more to it than that. And I think they need to get this through, and they need to do it sooner rather than later. And I think we're going to see that. I thought they were supposed to vote on it today. Then it was delayed. Then I heard that they might vote on it again tonight, or were about to vote on it at 5 o'clock. There was even a live stream camera up. But
now this is the remember civics class. Okay, the remember civics class. This is a monetary bill, so it starts in the Senate and then it goes to the House. That's how it's supposed to work anyway.
Wasn't it passed from the House to the Senate?
No, it goes from the Senate to the House. But here's the thing. It's going to have a rocky existence in the House. I don't think that they're going to be able to pass this before Christmas as it is desired by President Trump. What do you think out there in listening to this? I'm just wondering about this.
No, it passed the House on the 16th of November. Trump and Republican leaders in Congress are aiming to pass legislation by year's end that would simplify the code and deliver $1.5 trillion in tax cuts over a decade. Both the House and Senate bills deliver the majority of cuts to corporations and wealthy Americans. That's from the Washington Post. But yeah, November...
Okay, I stand corrected. It was my understanding that this has got to go through the House yet.
No, this bill went through the House already. It was passed.
Oh, help me, Rhonda.
The House
Isn't that a song?
So it was 2 weeks ago yesterday. The House passed legislation to overhaul the tax code Thursday. The vote passed
227
to 205. Yeah, so now once the Senate passes it, it can be signed into law by the president. Now, we have reports...
But the issue, isn't the issue with regard to this particular tax bill? I've seen tweets out there that the senators have not seen the actual bill, yet the lobbyists have?
I have not read that. I have not seen that anywhere. And I think that if that were really the case, you'd be hearing a lot more of that in the news. This would be a major talking point by the left-wing media.
All right.
If the bill was like the Obamacare, or what was some of the other ones where they kept it actually secret from the people voting on it, and you could only read it if you had, you know, no cell phones or pens on you, and you had to be taken to secret rooms.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was referencing the committees. My apologies in that I have to say, I'm sorry for my civics. I explained that incorrectly, the committees as opposed to the bill going into the various committees and how it's processed. My apologies. I'm sorry.
So one of the interesting things that is coming out of this bill, Senator Bob Corker, a leading fiscal guy who pledged early to oppose any bill that expanded the federal deficit, stood out as the lone remaining Republic dissenter as drafted. The bill was projected to add $1 trillion in 10 years to the $20 trillion national debt, even after counting its boost to the economy. I'm not able to cast aside my financial concerns and vote for legislation that could deepen the debt burden on future generations, he says. Now, when we saw George Bush double the national debt in his tenure as president, double the national debt in his tenure as president, $1 trillion over 10 years. I'd have to read the bill. But
we should contact Gerald Celeni, too, about this.
It doesn't sound that bad. I mean, we've seen things go through that raise the debt that much in less than a year or two's time. So I don't believe for one second these fiscal hawks in Congress care one bit about the national deficit. Not one bit.
No. But it's unsustainable. Regardless, if this keeps going, the one thing I think that President Donald Trump has done, I think he could put this in the win column without any degree of hesitation, is his management of the financial sector. Look at the stock market. And it was interesting that I saw this, and the media was trying to play this down, at least on MSNBC and CNN, that when the Flynn guilty plea was announced, did you see the stock market drop 200 points right?
What did it end at? Like down 60, I think?
I don't know.
It came back up, and it was, I'm going to look right now, because I was tracking it all day, and I think around, it ended at down 40. So all that, you know, the market's crashing because of the Flynn plea, it's garbage.
Well, it's garbage. I believe that the entire system is tenuous at best. And again, the debt is unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
The economy is, Donald Trump is pulling it from the ruins, and it's been ruined by both political parties. Mm-hmm. It's not just one party, as you'd mentioned. So, he's got a lot of stuff on his hands, but in my view, just from what I've read of the summary of the bill, I've not read the bill itself, just the summary and the points of this tax bill. The argument by the progressive left is, well, this is going to give the rich this tax break. Well, no, it's not.
It doesn't matter. The left will never agree to a tax break for anybody.
Right.
They want all the tax money so they can, you know, distribute it out to all their welfare recipients.
And how's that working for Venezuela, for example? I would ask Bernie Sanders that question. And others, but okay. So
when I say welfare recipients, I don't mean people who need.
It doesn't
welfare.
Matter.
We're talking about people who are able to work, but just don't want to, and take advantage of the system.
And then you've got corporate welfare as well.
Oh yeah, which is bad if not worse.
Right. So, and you know the pass through corporations, and but anyway, to cover that would take too much time. And don't forget, at the top of this hour, we've got Kaya Jones coming on, and that's going to be just a fantastic. Defiant ex-pussycat doll Kaya Jones, and she's going to be talking about how top record executives sexually assaulted her back in the back of a limousine, and the epidemic problem that's taking place in the entertainment industry. And I've got to thank her in advance, and all of the very brave people coming forward to tell the stories. What's the take on the other revelations, the sexual revelations and exposure? We've got Bette Midler came out talking about Geraldo Rivera.
That's from 1991. Came out on Wednesday. It was an interesting story. She was being interviewed and somehow it came up, you know, how do you like Geraldo Rivera? How did you guys meet? Which I didn't get why the question was thrown in there, but she talked about in the 70s interacting with Geraldo the first time that they met. Apparently Geraldo and his producer shoved her in a room, put poppers under her nose, and groped her. But Geraldo has
that's
a reputation
rather
for being
thought.
Yeah, Geraldo has a he wrote a book where he, I think back in the 90s, where he bragged about sleeping with thousands of women. And I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen any new allegations today. Yesterday, Russell Simmons, the rap mogul, it came out that, you know, he had raped a woman. The woman who he actually raped came out and wrote an article about it. You have on Drudge, you know, on the left-hand side, this is where they've been kind of keeping the sexual harassment, keeping track of it. Matt Lauer will not receive payout. He was seeking a $30 million payout.
Well, his severance, right?
For the rest of his contract, yeah.
Right.
But thankfully, he won't be getting that. Congressman Conyers is going to decide within days on political future. He is the one who is accused of sexually assaulting a number of women. But
Pelosi was
put
on the hot seat about Conyers.
Yeah, according to other congressmen, the Conyers case doesn't really count because his accusers were white women. That, you know, from another member of Congress. And Pelosi, yeah, I didn't watch the video. Pelosi suffers face spasms, brain freezes while denouncing Conyers.
This is
she's been doing this for a while.
15th or 20th time in public, yeah.
Yeah, she's been having some problems recently. And there's a video on the American Mirror,
right,
which outlines exactly what it is, that shows the video and shows some of the problems that she has. But she's been having those problems for a while, so that's nothing new. Joe Scarborough again doubled down his claims
about
Trump being mentally unfit. Even said that the military should not listen to Trump and refuse to take orders from him and should, you know, rebel against him. Which, you know, these people are crazy. I mean, what else can we say about them? They are so delusional. They, you know,
they're
say Trump is mentally unfit. This is more of that projection. You know, they accuse other people what they are guilty of. From the Russian collusion to mentally unfit.
Scarborough calling, doing that, I think that President Donald Trump's November 29th Twitter message, that was kind of his version of a Monica missile.
Yeah.
Against Scarborough. The Department of Justice, by the way, just filed an arrest warrant for Kate Steinle's killer, Jose Garcia Lizarrate. Okay, so, but on what grounds, people might ask, because isn't...
I wanted to ask you about that. Is that considered double jeopardy?
No, okay. Because, now, he was acquitted of the murder of Kate Steinle in her shooting death. Okay, however, it's my understanding, looking just quickly at the arrest warrant, or the reference to the arrest warrant, I don't believe it's a civil right issue. I believe it's a violation of, I don't want to say cross border, but you're talking about felonious activity coming into the United States several times. And watch how this is going to play out as well between the Department of Justice and those sanctuary cities, including but not limited to San Francisco. You were talking about and listening to Michael Savage.
Oh, yeah. He was hot today. And he's been doing Periscope broadcasts on Twitter, so go follow him on Twitter and check out some of his Periscope stuff. But yeah, he was on fire today over this. So he's from San Francisco, that's where he lives. He was calling for Trump to send in the military and National Guard to round up the illegal immigrants, the politicians who enable sanctuary city policies, and the homeless people. But if you listen to Savage, you'll understand why he included homeless people. But interestingly enough, it was really angry, and rightfully so. A lot of people are. It's one thing, you know, we'll get into the details of this case and this acquittal, but have you seen some of the people on the left have been celebrating the acquittal as some kind of victory for immigrant rights.
Isn't this kind of reminiscent of the O.J. Simpson trial? In a way, and that whole O.J. Simpson mania that went on from the Bronco chase to the acquittal, that's what it seems to me, that mentality. But you're right, it is a celebration
O.J. was a sports hero
But he was blocked, too, at the time.
This is before my time. So, I mean, I remember the O.J. trial, and I remember all that, but I never had the infatuation with him that many Americans did. That's a different kind of animal. But, yeah, it's the same, maybe the same mentality. This is more a political thing than
My question is, given the fact that an arrest warrant was issued by the Department of Justice, by the Sessions Justice Department, against Steinle's killer, my question is, okay, first of all, what charges? And I believe it's the Felony Act. It could very well have some civil rights component, but I think that there's also the Felony Act of cross-border coming into the country and then not. But I also think that that should include, in a perfect world, the individuals responsible for allowing this individual to go. He was released, what, 5 or 6 different times by...
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And when he should have been detained and deported, but he was not.
Okay, it says the arrest warrant was originally drafted in 2015,
right,
and amended this week to include violations related to the charges of a felon in possession of a firearm, involuntary manslaughter, and assault with a deadly weapon, all of which were filed after the defendant's initial arrest, according to Friday's warrant.
Are you talking? I don't think is that the federal arrest warrant?
Okay, yeah, because it says he was, yeah. He had been released from the San Francisco jail about 3 months before the shooting, despite a request by federal immigration authorities to detain him. The case sparked widespread outrage. He was acquitted of first-degree and second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, and found not guilty of assault with a semi-automatic weapon. He was found guilty. The arrest warrant, which was originally drafted in 2015, and amended this week. Yes, this is the DOJ arrest warrant.
All right.
So he's going to be charged by the DOJ for a felon in possession of a firearm.
Okay.
Involuntary manslaughter, assault with a deadly weapon.
So on federal charges, which is a whole different matter than a whole different animal than the state charges. Okay, I can see this taking place. And finally, and I do believe that Donald Trump had a personal hand in this, saying, hey, do something about this. And I believe that he was pretty angry about the outcome.
John made a great joke on The Daily Show, saying he's surprised Jeff Sessions didn't recuse himself from this case because he ate at Pier 14, you know, back in the 90s, which I thought was pretty funny, seeing how Sessions recuses himself from any and everything that's controversial. But it'll be interesting to see. Now, if the feds take control of this case, which they should. And one of the interesting things I heard about the trial, did you know that the jury was not allowed to know this guy's history, not allowed to know the circumstances of the shooting, not allowed to know that where the gun came from, not allowed to know he was illegal, not allowed to know he was deported or a felon or any of these things?
Yes.
They only had a very narrow margin of information, which I didn't know that. Now I can understand why you might not have gotten I don't understand why not a manslaughter charge, but why you wouldn't have got a murder charge.
Well,
but it's crazy. Yeah. As I said, many people are celebrating this. Even the lawyer for the guy said this is a victory for, you know, immigrants everywhere.
And his attorney issued what I would call a threat to both to Donald Trump. And if you listen to that statement post-acquittal statement, the threat involved, the wording of the threat against President Donald Trump was somewhat to the extent that, hey, you've got your own problems, so you better not be taking us to task, taking my client to task for this acquittal. And that to me sounded extremely, you talk about lack of respect. Just breaking news, kind of switching a little bit. There's news of a large scale missile exchange taking place right now between Syria and Israel. Have you seen anything about this in the news? All right, multiple missiles apparently, and multiple interceptions are in progress. This I just happened to catch this on
Twitter account. Been a while since rockets flew into Israel.
Well, it's something that we've not seen in 10 years.
Are you saying this is not a rebel force? This is a government action?
Well, apparently, from what I understand, and these are first reports, so don't, you know, Israeli airplanes are now carrying out apparently airstrikes in and around Damascus.
And they've been doing that for the last few years.
Yes, but it looks like an escalation in that. And So anyway, we're keeping track of that very closely, and I wanted to bring that up. Israeli missiles targeted Syrian army ammo storage in West Damascus, it's being reported. And the Syrian air, there's video out there, and we can't play it right now, but of air defenses intercepting Israeli missiles. And you're looking at potential Russian involvement in Syria as well.
Yeah.
Do you have it up there?
I see what you're talking about. And Syria has not really been in the news for whatever reason lately. But Israel has been carrying out strategic strikes of Syria since 2013, right after it fell.
Right.
And then you have, as you said, Iran, Russia. I think there's even troops from Venezuela operating in Syria. And we haven't had a comprehensive report about what's going on there. You know, the status of Assad, the status of, is there still a massive civil war? How many casualties do we have?
With respect to Syria,
right.
And yeah, so, the updated body count, shall we say. Well, Syria's a country has just been totally destroyed, because of, and this is the Hillary Clinton Obama legacy. Let's not forget who started this. Remember the Arab Spring, neither organic nor, spontaneous. And this was that nothing to do with democracy. This is about shifting the world power in the Middle East. Syria was a part of this. And, Gajendra Singh had written an article back, I think it was in 2008 or 2009, that outlined that, stating that Syria would explode, not implode. It was a tremendous article predicting, millions upon millions of deaths, and this is what we're seeing from the intervention by Western intelligence into Syria. So let's keep that in mind.
Real quick here before we get to the break, James Comey tweets this Bible verse after Flynn announcement.
Yeah.
Former FBI Director James Comey appeared to take a shot at President Trump on Friday by tweeting a Bible verse after news broke that Flynn was going to be pleading guilty. Comey wrote, "But justice rolled down like waters in righteousness, like an ever-flowing stream." Amos 5:24.
Yep.
Right away, he was, as this headline says, eviscerated on Twitter. John Cardillo replied, "Says the guy who changed investigation to matter and exonerated Hillary 2 months before interviewing her despite a mountain of evidence." Another one, Nick Short, replied, "Like a muddled spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked." Proverbs 25:26.
So a Twitter war of Bible verses with the former FBI director.
Yep. Another one, Josh Hammer. "You pretend that gross negligence and extreme carelessness for purely political reasons and leaked to the New York Times for a moral high ground squeezing optics. Pipe down." And it goes on and on.
Into a little a tweet spat with Preet Bharara today.
To who? With who?
Preet Bharara, U.S. attorney out of New York, U.S. attorney out of New York, who was fired by Donald Trump. And Preet Bharara. So, then of course, we don't have time to get into that. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. Coming up next, Kaya Jones. This is going to be great, folks. Hold on to your hats because Kaya Jones is going to be coming in telling her story. Stay right where you're at.